You are tuned into the UX Direction Podcast with Jay, the UX Director, giving you what you need to level up your UX design career and become the designer you're meant to be. It is time to level up in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the UX Direction Podcast with me, Jay Tuddock, the UX Director, giving you learnings from my experience transitioning from a UX intern to UX boss, helping you to level up your career fast. So for the repeat listeners out there wondering what on earth has happened to the Intern to Boss podcast, well, I had a change of heart. I decided to change the podcast name to niche down into the field that I have dedicated over a decade of my life to, and that is user experience design, with the ambition to help others interested or who already have careers in the UX design industry. Intern to Boss will pop up from time to time as a series within the UX Direction podcast, telling stories from my UX career, and feel free to check out the episodes 1-4 available on this channel to get a glimpse of the Intern to Boss podcast content. But the UX Direction podcast will focus on answering the many questions around UX design that we all have, and will provide insight into the challenges that design teams face with solutions, hopefully, for overcoming them. But today, though, I want to kick things off by clearing the air and setting the record straight. You see, there's a lot of content out there covering what UX is and why we should all be doing it. But the truth is, though, if we want to understand UX, we also need to understand the other side of the equation and precisely what UX isn't. Why? So that you can easily recognize what you, others, and the organizations that you're working for should stop doing and begin the process of putting things right and practicing UX design correctly. So let's take a step back and think about what the definition of user experience actually is, right? So to summarize UX, I have turned to Nielsen Norman Group because, to be honest, they provide one of the most trusted UX design resources, in my opinion. And NN Group defines user experience design as follows. User experience encompasses all aspects of the end user's interaction with the company, its services, and its products. Interaction Design Foundation also defines UX design as the process that design teams use to create products that provide meaningful and relevant experiences to users. Wow. I know some of you must be shocked, because I often hear when people describe user experience design that they refer to it being the design and look and feel of apps and websites. But it is so much more than that. UX is a customer's complete user interaction with a company. Complete user interaction. And with that being said, this is exactly what user experience design isn't. So first of all, UX is not web or app design and development. It's just not. Web and app design center around the technology itself and the construct of the platform being used to create the app or the website, requiring a much deeper understanding of the fundamentals of complete web page and screen creation. However, user experience in its purest form concentrates on the users of those pages, their needs and their pain points, therefore providing solutions that slot into these platforms to support users to achieve their goals. Ultimately, UX design is platform independent, to a degree, containing principles and methodologies applied in digital and physical use cases. In comparison, web design is constrained by website browsers. However, as I have mentioned in previous podcasts, there are definitely benefits to understanding web design and development when transitioning into user experience design. The vast majority of UX design is applied to the web and app space, So understanding the advantages and disadvantages of these platforms is beneficial to any UX designer striving for a successful career. This is especially true as UX designers should be working closely with web and app developers, where communication is a critical part of the design process to ensure the experience is delivered meeting user expectations. And that is pivotal to the success of any user experience project that touches digital. Secondly, UX is not based on gut feelings. Now, I know this is going to frustrate a lot of people, especially those that, in my opinion, do not necessarily understand fully user experience design and the process. Now, look, to be honest, I'm calling this one out. And if you're not basing your design decisions on some form of customer research, then to put simply, you're not doing UX design. I don't care how many years of experience you have or how long, you know, you've been designing for. User behaviors and technology change so rapidly. And we as UX designers must always be learning and staying on top of these adjustments. The best way to do that is simply by validating our ideas regularly with the user base. It also helps to build the UX department's credibility at the company that you work in and send a powerful message that design is much more than just pushing pixels around the screen and a job that anyone can do. For the haters out there, listen, I'm not saying that all ideas must come from users themselves. It is indeed possible to design from your intuition based on experience solving similar problems within a similar context. But it is mandatory that you still validate that design solution or idea before you release it. This is crucial to protect your design from yourself. And what do I mean by protecting it from yourself? Well, I mean protecting the design from your own biases and assumption. That is why we validate with users. User validation is a core tenet of UX design. And to be honest with you, the clue is in the name, user experience design. Thirdly, UX is not UI design. Yep, it's that old chestnut coming out again. And I know there's been many blogs, articles, videos, you name it, about this topic. There's lots of memes as well about UX is not UI, UI is not UX, and kind of all of that goodness that creates that community buzz. I get it. But just to be absolutely clear, because this one is probably one of the most controversial topics in design and has been for many, many years. And this is mainly due to employers and prospective designers still not fully understanding the differences between UI and UX expertise. So let's turn to our friends once again at Interaction Design Foundation to clarify what UI design is. So UI design is the process that designers use to build interfaces in software or computerized devices. Simple. This means that UI designers are focused on what the user of the interface sees and how that UI responds to the interaction from the user of that product. UX, on the other hand, covers the entirety of the user's interaction with the product. And for some UX projects, may not even touch a user interface. And we need to be absolutely clear on that, that not all user experience design work involves a digital interface. That's why the two are different. You can't say UI is UX and UX is UI, you just can't. However, the two go hand in hand and create a fantastic, complete experience for digital. And this is why in some companies, you will see both disciplines of UX and UI collaborating side by side. And in my opinion, rightly so. Now that we have that settled, let me tell you what UX design actually is. UX design is ease of use. Now, this one might seem obvious on the surface, but creating products that are easy to use is actually extremely difficult to do. So that's why UX designers do this job. Crafting products that are intuitive and helpful for the user at every touch point and interaction. Very few companies do this well, especially in the founding days when they're in their startup. until the point that they realize that they need to pay attention and pay an expert who can help them understand their user base better to make their products, you guessed it, easy to use. Ease of use is achieved by deeply understanding the user journey, the product lifecycle, if it has one, the various touch points stemming from the main user journey, the architecture of the information displayed, and customer pain points, goals, and emotions using the product, amongst many, many other methodologies, which you can do in conjunction. All of these activities should be done before any designs are completed and any code is delivered to the end user. Secondly, UX connects the business and the customer. That's right. UX is a platform for the customer's voices to be heard and positive action to be taken. So if you think about the voice of the customer, a lot of times people always think about NPS, so Net Promoter Scores and CSAT, customer satisfaction surveys. And they lean on these surveys to give an insight into how loyal and satisfied users of a product or service actually are. However, these surveys are not enough because they do not provide the business with the actionable feedback that is required in order to make a positive change for their customer base. So this is where the UX design team can step in and build on that insight gained from those surveys, discovering opportunities for the company via in-depth customer research or by diving deeper into the reasons for poor customer satisfaction and loyalty. Not only this though, UX design decisions can directly impact the company's primary objectives and key business metrics. If tracked correctly, it can also be possible to see how every UX design decision affects the customer and the company, creating a powerful narrative for success of the business and the value of UX design as a department. But I'll go more into how exactly to achieve that in an upcoming future episode. So the next one is, in order to practice UX correctly, UX design requires scientific practices. So as I just mentioned, speaking of metrics, outcomes, and objectives, UX design is also a science, requiring theories, hypotheses, assumptions being tested and validated, and the evolution of design patterns based on new customer insight and developments being fed in. Some argue, though, that viewing UX as a science and removing designing on instinct, here we go with the gut feel again, makes for bland design outcomes. However, I beg to differ on this point of view because as supporting design decisions through scientific methods for data collection actually helps to elevate the UX design discipline by establishing measurable outcomes. It also pushes the design team to think even more creatively and innovatively around the constraints presented to them. For me, this is a true test of a designer's skill and creative ability. If you're able to design innovatively through the constraints, that is what true design is. Like, that's how you know you are a designer. Because you can solve problems, you can navigate through complexity. And for me, coupled with the fact that we use scientific methodologies and rationale and theories, design is a science, or UX design is a science. It is also true that UX is also customer experience and service design. Now, this is something that doesn't become clear until you've gained some skin in the game and worked at a few companies operating at a senior level with multiple user touch points. But for clarity, let us once again visit our friends at Nielsen Norman Group and see what their definition is of UX. To be clear, user experience encompasses all aspects of the end user's interaction with the company, its services, and its products. What does this mean? This means all end user interaction. I've worked in digital transformation, consumer travel, and fintech as a UX practitioner, and I have found myself solving problems for both online and offline products and services in all of these fields. In my opinion, to be great in your UX role, it is essential to consider the impacts your solutions will have on the many customer touchpoints that branch away from the core user journey that we all call the happy path. UX is about taking ownership over the user experience, and therefore, in my opinion, it is your business to know this stuff. It is your business to make it your business, right? It's your business to understand what the NPS is. It's your business to understand what the CSAT scores are. It's your business to understand what the call volumes are. It's your business to understand what the traffic going through your branches or your stores are. It's your business to understand the traffic going through your website and the customer behavior that determines the outcomes of all of those touch points. Of course, there will be other teams, usually customer experience and customer support, looking for more ways to engage with customers and obtaining their feedback. But for me, this just means engaging with these teams regularly, understanding their challenges and the insights received, collaborating to help them find solutions for common problems. Lastly, and this is going to be an interesting one, I believe that UX should be applying first principles thinking. Now, if you haven't agreed with me so far, then this one will probably send you over the edge just a little bit, because this is another science debate, pretty much. And it's my opinion that, look, like, UX designers want to remain creative and innovative and not constrained, which is the most common argument against calling UX a scientific practice or not using your gut feeling to design. However, by applying first principles thinking to your UX design problem statements, you can think freely about the problem. So listen, let me explain and define kind of first principles thinking. So first principles thinking is an ancient Greek philosophy from Aristotle that has been brought to fame more recently through Elon Musk using it specifically to build companies like Tesla and SpaceX. First principles thinking can be defined as, rather than drawing our conclusions or reasoning by analogy, first principles thinking is about breaking down a problem or an idea to its fundamental truths. What do we mean by fundamental truths? We mean what we know to be true, and then reasoning up from there to make our decisions. So first principles thinking is instrumental when discussing complex user problems and situations, especially ones with gray areas, causing contentions and unprogressive debates within the workplace. It also helps prevent us from taking a cookie cutter approach, which, let's face it, a cookie cutter approach is what many designers do. Unfortunately, it's true. When a design brief comes in, it's a designer's instinct in a majority of cases to just go straight to dribble for inspiration. I mean, you gotta love it, right? In my opinion, like, first principles keeps us away from using analogies and keeps us closer to the facts themselves. So an excellent example of this is Instagram. So say there was a situation in the company's infancy where there was a conflict as to whether or not enabling users to upload pictures through a user interface is a good or a bad idea. In a scenario such as this, let us take a step back and understand the first principles, the fundamental truths about the user base. So when we break down Instagram, what is it for? Like, what are the fundamental truths? Well, people take pictures to capture memories. Check. Photos are taken from cameras, computers, and smartphones. Okay. Images are stored on cameras, computers, and smartphones. People like to share their pictures with friends and families. So therefore, Instagram should enable users to upload pictures from these devices. By thinking of your UX role in this way, you'll soon find that the impact of your contributions can stretch much further than you ever thought possible. Improving customer loyalty, creating a competitive advantage, improving business metrics, and gaining operational efficiencies and reducing costs. And for much of this to be successful, You do not even need to wireframe an interface. So now you know what is and what isn't UX. How will you use this knowledge? What will you now do differently? Even if you disagree with me, and I'm sure there's quite a few people out there who will, drop a comment. Let's start the conversation. If this topic has interested you and you want to find out more about my journey, feel free to check out the other podcast episodes available on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And reach out to me. I'm more than happy to have a conversation. If there are any topics that you guys are interested in and want me to cover next, feel free to drop a comment below. Give this channel a like, subscribe.